Well, good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. Let me introduce myself. I am Pastor Jeff Bandy. I've been away for 4 weeks, in case you haven't noticed, but I am back now with you here once again on this a day for us to just gather and to be in the presence of God. And while I was away, a big focus of my time was to truly try to be present, with the Lord and allow the Lord to speak. So I invite you to in that spirit as we go into worship today. There are several announcements. Important things for next week is that we are receiving our coins for missions, so make sure you remember to bring your coins. And just to put on your calendar for the upcoming days, the Mary and Martha group is coming together again. We have the Lifeline screening is going to be on the 5th as well. And then the proactively planning, this is the, I believe, the final one of the series. It is going to be on the 18th. So put that on your calendar so you can come out. And this is the piece about understanding what happens after we pass away. So this is a time for planning for that time period. Also, I want to mention the new members class that has been advertised for the past couple weeks. The date has had to have changed to the 26th. It's 1 week later. And we're changing the time to 2 o'clock to allow there to be a little bit more time to get some lunch and to come back after worship. So this is an orientation class for new members, those who are not members yet, those who may be thinking about what is membership all about. I invite you to let me know that you want to be a part of that class. We would love to have make that commitment to the church. So it's open to those that are not members. And if you're already a member, but you want to be kind of just a renewal of understanding of what membership is, I invite you to sign up for that class as well. But I just wanted to make sure that you knew that there was a date change. It is on the 26th at 2 p.m. So put that on your calendar to be a part of that. And please let me know so I can make sure I have the right materials for that. With that, let us prepare for worship with the prelude. Thank you.
Good morning. If you would stand, if you're able, please, for our call to worship. Easter people, Jesus chose you and calls you friend. Abide in Christ because Christ abides in us. Jesus made a home among us to show how to love. Abide in love because love abides in us. Easter people, Jesus welcomes you home. Come to make our home with God, one another, bound together by love. If you would remain standing, please, for our opening hymn, I Come With Joy, in your United Methodist hymnal, number 617, we'll be singing verses 1 through 3. Thank you. You may be seated. Please join me in our opening prayer printed in your bulletin. God of love, let your Holy Spirit come upon us, into our hearts, into our minds, and into our souls. Speak into our lives, for we long to hear your voice and to follow your ways. We pray that you abide in us, that we may abide in you, this day and all days. Amen. If the children would come forward, please, for the children's moment.
We're standing up.
We're standing up. Okay.
You got this?
Yeah. Yeah. See, no treats till we're done. Can you hold this?
Can you put that open for you?
You guys have to figure it out. What does it say?
Joy.
Joy? Let's turn around.
It says yod.
You might want to move around. Robin. And let's turn it. Okay, so what does it say? Joy. Okay. How many times in the Bible does the word joy or rejoice or joyful happen?
A lot. That is a lot.
That's a lot. So how about the word happy? How many times does the word happy?
10 times.
10 times.
10 times. So So being happy, I mean, when you see a cupcake on the treat table, I mean, that makes you happy, right? Mm. Or seeing cookies, that makes you happy. Knowing there's 15 more days of school, that makes you happy. Mm. Okay, what is joy? Do you know what it is? Ian, do you know? What's joy?
Happiness.
It is. If you're joyful, you're happy.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough one.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So joy is the deeper happiness that's long-lasting. The thing is, how can you find it? And here's a good way to remember. You can find joy if you take the J and put Jesus first. And you take the O and you put others next.
Mm.
And you take the Y and you put yourself last. So if you remember, joy really comes from putting Jesus first, and then others, and then yourself last. And that's how you find joy. Okay.
Very good.
Yes. Well, let's have a prayer and then treats. And there are a lot of cupcakes left, by the way. So maybe you could have happiness with lunch. Dear God, we're so thankful that through you, we can find joy and happiness and peace and everlasting life. And we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen.
And there's the treats. You're welcome. I did cut it out.
Now, if you would please join us in our prayer hymn, Like the Murmur of a Dove's Song, number 544, we'll be singing verses 1 through 3.
It's good to be back with you in this time of prayer. I spent a lot of time just in prayer over the past month. We did walks in the mountains on the Appalachian Trail one day, and we had lots of time to be in the beauty of God's creation. And just throughout our time, even if there were some challenges in the midst of it, we were reminded over and over again about God being present with us. So let's go and pray to our Lord. Amazing love, amazing God, amazing Lord, amazing grace. It is amazing, O God, when we think about how you have called out to us, how your creation just screams that you are there. Lord, we can see how you are in our midst in the ways that we have come to learn to react and treat one another. Lord, when we just calm ourselves and we set ourselves aside and open ourselves to you and your love, it is amazing how you show up. It's amazing how you are the one who shows us that you are there with us and so many different ways, and each one of us has a unique perspective and can see you in a different way. There's no limit to your love. For that we are grateful. In this time together, in this time of worship, Lord, ask that you would make your presence known to us, that we would open ourselves to you in a way that says, Lord, we know that you love. There are so many different ways that we come to you this day. Some of us are excited about what the day brings, while others are challenged by what the day brings. Our minds may be clouded with different perspectives that we've heard throughout the week, or different tragedies that we've become aware of or been a part of. You are in the midst of it all, God. We can just give that to you and be in your presence and follow you where you take us. It's hard for us to trust in you in that way. But give us courage, O God. Give us courage to walk slowly with you, with the intention to follow, not lead. So Lord, again, we thank you. We thank you that you have called us, you awakened us to you, and that you continually show yourself to us. May we acknowledge you and praise you and thank you for all that you are and do in our lives. So let's share with confidence that we have in our Lord with this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we'll invite our ushers to wait upon us as we share back what we have been given, knowing that our love is to be multiplied. Please join in the prayer of dedication. O God, our hearts sing with thanksgiving for the many gifts and graces you bring to our lives. We give you thanks for your steadfast love and faithful spirit. Receive this offering and the gift of our whole selves, that we might give as we have received and love as we have been loved. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Today's gospel reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
When I look at this hymn, Jesu, Jesu, I think of our church. We do a garden and we give away the food. We gather shoeless people to the church and we give away shoes. We collect our old things and sell them and give the money, all of it, away. That is our church. I will need help on this, and that includes you. I'd like you to sing the chorus with me, and then I'll sing the other part. But if you're led, go ahead and join me on the other part. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Let's do that again. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneels at the feet of his friends, silently washes their feet, master who acts as a slave to them. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Neighbors are rich and poor, neighbors are black and white, neighbors are near and far away. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. These are the ones we should serve, these are the ones we should love. All these are neighbors to us and you. Jesu, Jesu, Fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Loving puts us on our knees, serving as though we are slaves. This is the way we should live with you. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneel at the feet of our friends, silently washing their feet. This is the way we should live with you. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Amen.
Thank you, Vic. Well, it's been a few days since we've been together like this. My mother became a mom 3 days before Mother's Day in 1961, when my brother Don was born on May 11th. He will be 63 years old this year, the day before Mother's Day next week. So for 63 years, my mother has been celebrated because she gave birth to a son. After Don was born, 436 days later, my sister Debbie came along. At that point, my mom was overjoyed having a son and a daughter. She was content. However, 3 years later, she became pregnant with me. Now, when I was in my 20s, my mom told me she cried for months when she found out she was pregnant, because she really didn't want any more children. If she wouldn't have told me that, I would have never known. From my perspective, my mom was always thrilled that I was her son. She was always there for me. She didn't work outside the home until I was in the first grade, so I had her to myself during the day for a couple of years while my siblings were off at school. I don't really know what all she gave up for me and my siblings, but I'm sure it was a lot. I was just unaware of it because she was always present and happy to be there as far as I could tell. She gave so much love. And she gives so much love still. Even in my family's toughest times, it was my mom's love that gave me strength and hope for a better tomorrow. My memories of my mom are all good. And along with my wife, my children, and more recently my granddaughter, my mom is in the center of my world. I'm one of the lucky ones. The reality is we don't live in a perfect world, and as a result, our understanding and experience of love has been skewed. Every one of us has a different view of what love is, based on what we have experienced in our lives. So we either love the way we've been loved, or vow to do better, or strive to love differently, or maybe some just give up trying to love at all. Whatever the case, deep inside we all long for love. And we need to experience it because we were created by a God who is love, to be loved. Now, even though we don't live in a perfect world, we can put our trust in Jesus, who came to save the world by His love and is making all things new. Now hear this, starting with each of us by transforming our skewed concept of love. Our text today corrects at least some of our perspective by providing a clarity of what Jesus described as no greater love. As with any kind of transformation, as we, if you remember, we talked about it all throughout Lent, whether it's related to our self-image or freedom from some kind of addiction or breaking free from shame, we have to be able to let go of the lies and misunderstandings that have shaped us. To overcome our skewed view of love, we need to set aside what we think love is so that the Holy Spirit can create in us a new heart. So I want to invite us to continue our process of transformation today. So for a moment here, I just want us to close our eyes. I want us to take a couple deep breaths in. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak to our minds and our hearts the truth about no greater love than pure love that is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With your eyes closed, breathe in. Breathe in the Spirit. Be present. Now let's open our eyes to see and our ears to hear the words that Jesus shared about this love. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. First things first, pure love doesn't start with us. It is an extension of the love that the Father and the Son share along with the Holy Spirit, which is the source from which pure love proceeds into the world. Love that doesn't come from the source is tainted. Now, the good news, Jesus gives us access to the source. Our love doesn't need to remain tainted. However, in order to overcome our impure love, we have to stay connected to the source. No greater love comes from an abiding relationship with the triune God. Abiding is a word that we don't use, or at least not much. Some versions of the Bible use just the phrase, remain in my love. But I think abiding gives us the stronger sense of the connection that we need to truly grasp. Our text today is within the context of the parable of the vine that the Reverend Wendy Leibarger shared last week with you, where Jesus described this bond being like branches to a vine. Branches disconnected from the vine's source of nutrients are unable to draw on the fullness of what the vine has to offer. When we are not fully engaged in our relationship with Jesus, opening our hearts to Jesus and experiencing the love of Jesus, we won't be able to pass on love as it should be. What I want you to hear is that it is love, not duty or legalism, connects us. It keeps us connected. Yes, we see the word commandment here and we should take it seriously, but the love is the key. Even if we aren't perfect with sharing love yet, we aren't ignorant about it either. When we love someone, we want to please them, right? When we are asked to do something that is grounded in love, we do it for the most part without resistance. So regarding commandments, I don't think Jesus is talking about the Ten Commandments or any specific laws that we find in the Bible. When he says, we will abide in his love if we follow his commandments. See, Jesus is present with us. You see, Jesus followed his Father's guidance to reveal himself as the way of salvation, the way of truth and life. The way he did what was through a response to the love he received from his Father, and then extended that love to everyone he met on the way to the cross. It is love that led him to follow his Father's direction. Jesus invites us to rest, remain, abide in his love, to follow his way. So I ask these questions. How are you resting in the Father's presence? How are you remaining in the Word of God who is Jesus Christ? How are you abiding in the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Love that comes from us depends on the source of love we abide in. Spending time answering these questions can help us to explore the way we love. Now, Jesus gives us something else to consider as well. He tells us to keep in mind the outcome of our love. Jesus encouraged this. He says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy, like love, is something we don't quite get without God revealing its true meaning. Here, joy is revealed as something we receive when we extend love. In a similar way that love proceeds from the source and is passed down from the Father to the Son, then on to us and through us to others, joy is received in the reverse order, all the way back to the source. Here's what I'm trying to say. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves us to complete the Father's joy. When we love one another, Jesus' love is complete. And when someone we love passes on love in the same way, then our joy is complete. Let that sink in. See, no greater love brings joy to the Lord and to the ones who share it. So we should ask ourselves, does the outcome of the kind of love we give only bring us some sense of joy? Does it bring joy to Jesus? Another way of asking this is my love selfish or is it abiding love? The reality is we can love more than we could ever imagine when our love has its roots planted in the love of the triune God. How do we know this? We know this through knowing Jesus who taught. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Again, try not to get caught up in the language of commands and commandments and focus on the action word of love. Also, don't forget, Jesus is fully human when he tells us to love as he loved us. He was able to love the way he did because of his abiding in his Father's love. As a result, Jesus was able to love the unlovable. He was able to love the rejected. He was able to love the diseased. He's able to love the adulterer. He was even able to love his enemies. He was able to love us as he was hanging from the cross. He was able to show us what real love is. No greater love is sacrificial. And then the bottom line, love is not about us. It is about setting ourselves aside for others, not because we are obligated or hope we get something in return, but because we are in a relationship with the Lord. It is in Christ we are able to give more of ourselves through loving others, even those we don't know. Excuse me. And those who may, well, be hard to love. Our understanding of our relationship with Jesus is important. Jesus doesn't want us acting on His behalf because we think we have to or because it will help us earn favor with Him. Jesus desires for us to act out of love, out of this pure, abiding love. Jesus clarified this truth when He said, "I do not call you servants any longer because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." So by the time Jesus said this, He had already told His disciples that He was sent by His Father to save the world by giving His life as a final sacrifice. He had told them everything that He had done in His time of ministry was in partnership with what His Father was already doing. Here He brings His disciples into this abiding relationship as friends, not servants, to live and love like Him, following His Father's lead to love the world. We're invited to follow the Father's lead. Jesus assured us this would always be true when before His arrest He told His disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is ready to show us what the Father is doing so we can follow in the way of Jesus, to love one another sacrificially, especially those we are shown who need to experience the love of God. This is how we love from God and not just for God. Our inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit, through our continual abiding relationship with the Lord. I can't emphasize enough how important it is for us to embrace this kind of relationship. A relationship with Jesus. He is our access to the source of love, which gives us abundant life as we share our life of love with others. The abundance is clear when we are able to love like Jesus. We're filled with joy, as we learned about in the children's message. Christ urges, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask Him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." Jesus came to save the world from sin and death, and His work has been accomplished. However, His mission to reach the whole world with this good news didn't end with His work on the cross. As He said, Jesus chose disciples. Disciples to share this with the world by loving everyone we can connect with in the same way that Jesus loved us. And as we've mentioned already through Vic, whether we are helping put on shoes on kids' feet, supporting local and global missions, reaching out to the children through VBS, or meeting our neighbors where they are, we do it with love that extends from the Lord. Otherwise, what we offer will wither away. However, no greater love produces more love. What we're supposed to be sharing is love, not stuff. The stuff is a means to connect. We have to love in order to make the connection. It doesn't matter where we are or who we are serving. All are worthy of God's love. So where are we being led? Where are you specifically being led? Wherever we are led, let's lead with love. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, we say yes to be His friends. We say yes to being chosen. We say yes to being loved, and yes to loving one another. However, our love must grow in the likeness of Christ's love. Our understanding and response to love cannot be separate from our knowing Jesus' love that is sustaining and enduring. Jesus revealed that the nature of His love was rooted in His relationship with His Father, which through His work on the cross restored this relationship for us to have and to share with others. God is love, and the source of pure love, there is no greater love. It is love that comes from an abiding relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is love that brings joy to the Lord and to those who share it. It is love that is sacrificial. And most importantly, it is love that produces love that lasts. We are the beloved children of God, the friends of Jesus. So by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, may our love express who we claim to be. Amen. It is so good to be able to come back to be with you on a communion Sunday. It is at this table that we share our unity with the Lord in a way that doesn't get any closer, because we are invited by the Lord to His table to be in His presence. So as we come to the table, we recognize that we have a pathway to the Lord, but it has to come through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ because of who we are as sinners. So I want you to repeat after me. Lord, I may not be worthy, but only say the word. And I shall be healed. Amen. So this is the Lord's table. He's been inviting us to come from the beginning. No matter where we first came to the knowledge of understanding who God is, it's from that moment that we become understanding that God loves us. But God has loved us all along. Knowing who we are, God continued to meet with us. And as you read the scriptures, you can see the story build over and over again. How we fall away, but the Lord is there. The Lord invites us back, and we may return as a choice for us to come. The table's open, and we have to come. The Lord has invited us. The Lord invited His friends on that night that He was betrayed. He took bread, as they were always used to on this special celebration that they had every year, reminding them of where they've been, but where they could come. And on that night, in their anticipation of a Messiah, Jesus takes that time and says, "We're at this table together. And this bread that I have broken and I have blessed, I'm giving it to you. And this is my body, which is broken for you. As long as you meet and gather around this table, do this in remembrance of me." And then after the supper, he takes this cup and he blesses it and gives it to his friends that are around the table and says, "This is the cup of a new covenant. A covenant that is poured out for you in my blood for the forgiveness of sin." As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ shall come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Because it is through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father. Now and forever. And all of God's people said, Amen. The table is set. And I said, the table is open for all. Whether you are here for the first time or you don't even recognize who Christ is to you yet, you are welcome to meet Jesus at this table. Jesus is present. It's a mystery to us how the Lord is present, but you can trust that Jesus is present with us today. We'll be receiving the elements in the pews. As you receive it, hold on to it until we all receive, and then we'll take each element together as we have them to share. Ushers, would you please come? There is gluten-free if you need it. This is the body of Christ, which has been broken for you, for the intent of bringing you in full, abiding relationship with the triune God. Take and eat. This is the blood of Christ, which has been poured out for you for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. Let us pray. Amazing God, we are so grateful for your joining us, for making yourself known to us and being present with us, especially in this meal. May we be renewed and reconnected to abide in your love. Amen.
Please stand as you're able for our closing hymn, Blessed Assurance, number 369 in your hymnal.
have the source of love that has been shared with us, has invited us to abide in it so that we can share it with the world. Everyone that we meet. Not just those that we know we love that are close to us. So abide in His love and share that love as you go in peace. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.